Hello, I'm Jennifer Young, Director of Elder Services for the Hingham Senior Center, and I would like to welcome you to this episode of Senior Safety. Senior Safety is a collaborative effort between the Hingham Senior Center, Harbor Media, the Plymouth County Triad, sponsored by District Attorney Tim Cruz and Sheriff Joe McDonald. This program was created to bring valuable information to our senior community during the current pandemic. And as you can see, we're bringing this program to you via Zoom, and we hope you enjoy it from the safety of your own home. Today's topic is of the utmost importance, considering this time of social distancing. We will be talking about romance scams. You may not believe this happens to seniors, but I know firsthand intelligent and guarded seniors who have fallen victim. And I would like to welcome our guests for this segment, Plymouth County District Attorney Tim Cruz, Hingham residents and Council on Aging board members, Joe Milberg and Scott Stevenson. So thank you all for joining us for this very important topic today. The Federal Trade Commission has reported that romance scams are on the rise at a rapid pace. Statistics show in 2015, the agency received 8,500 complaints from victims who fell prey. And in 2019, that number increased to 11,500. The rise in this number is alarming. And the FTC states that this crime is dramatically underreported. Hello, District Attorney Cruz, and thank you for joining us for this segment. What can you tell us about romance scams?
Well, Jennifer, thanks for having me on today's program. And Joe and Scott, nice to see you. It's great to be involved in this program and talk about some of the things that are going on in our county. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Tim Cruz, and for the last 20 years, I've been the Plymouth County District Attorney here in the county where I was born, raised, grew up, and my family was raised here, and my kids and all that. So it's really great for me to stay in the community and to be out there, especially during these difficult and challenging times. So as we talk about many things in the DA's office, you know, when you think of the DA's office, you probably think of, you know, prosecutors in court, and we do all that. And we have, you know, here in Plymouth County, anywhere but up to 20,000 criminal cases a year that we're dealing with in our four district courts at Hingham, Plymouth, Wareham, and Brockton, and our superior courts in Brockton and Plymouth. But what we try to do is prevent some things also, a lot of different issues. And a lot of them that we're trying to deal with right now are the scams. And the scam in particular that we're here to talk about today are the romance scams. This scam that has been around, you know, really forever, and it continues to be on the rise. And what it is, in many, many different ways, it's a confidence trick. It's a ruse that's pulled out by somebody on both genders, male or female. And really it involves faking and feigning romantic intentions toward a victim, gaining their affection, and then using that goodwill to commit fraud. And you just gave Jennifer some stats. Other stats from the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center are really alarming, in that from the 11,500 cases that were reported in 2019, con artists posing as romantic suitors had built people out of $346 million. And like you said, it's very underreported. And therefore, it's not only a problem here in our county or the Commonwealth, it's really a problem, you know, worldwide.
I just recently read a report dated back November of 2020, that the romance scams has increased by 20% due to the coronavirus pandemic. Could you tell us why we are seeing such an alarming rise in this type of scam?
Yeah, sure, Joe. I mean, I think the reason why we're seeing a rise in this scams and others, this is just one of the scams, is because it's really very successful. And the scam artists that are out there are really good at what they do. And that's the thing I always try to stress when we talk about these issues. You know, these people, they seem very genuine. They seem very caring. And they many times reach out to people when they're lonely and they don't have anything else in their life, so they think. And the problem has been is that people will believe them and then they get lured into it. And I think the internet, as we know, is a great educational tool, but it also allows individuals into our homes. It allows people into our lives. And when they go out and they look and see, you know, what you've put out there. So, you know, you see, you know, for the internet, you'd always see a movie and maybe you hear about a story that individuals would be seeking out victims and try to arrange a certain way to meet them. that try to romance them in a variety of ways. They're very charming. They're very pleasant. They wine and dine people. They give them, lavish them with gifts. And they're, what they're trying to do is establish a trusting and a loving relationship. It doesn't happen overnight. It's something that these people are willing to play the long game here. And it could take several months. It could take years. And once these individuals felt secure in their relationship, and then people's guards would be down, as would happen to any of us in a real relationship, people would then start working to gain access to their bank accounts, to their potential inheritances, to their jewelry, to whatever it is that's valuable that they have, any assets whatsoever. So, you know, nowadays with the internet, with social media sites, romance scams have gone from that to they've gone online. The premise remains the same, but now, quite honestly, the con artist has a much easier tool to try to swindle their victims.
Hey, Tim, how does an online romance scam actually work?
Well, I mean, there's a variety of ways, Scott, but it's a great question. And the online romance scams occur when a criminal, because that's what they are, they adopt fake online identities to gain affection and to gain trust. And what they'll do, these con artists will go on dating apps, social media, gaming sites, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Nextdoor, Words with Friends, list goes on and on, because a lot of us will put a lot of information on those sites, which are available for anybody to go to and look at and get a little bit of information, maybe find out a little bit about you, and they can figure out an angle at you. So they will go out, they'll create, you know, fake online personal profiles, they'll come up with fictional names. They will come up with, you know, they'll steal the identity of a real person. And usually it's not that unusual for individuals to have trusted information out there, people that you would trust, you know, people in the military, aid workers, professional workers working abroad. Oftentimes these guys are allegedly working in oil rigs out in the middle of the ocean. They're doctors in international organizations. They're never down the street. They're always far away. They're always doing great things for the world. They will use stolen photographs of attractive people, and they deem it, it's been called catfishing, where the sole purpose of the use of these photos are really to lure people in and ask other people to contact them for them. Once again, what they're trying to do is develop a relationship as quickly as possible, endearing themselves to the victims and endearing themselves so that they can gain that trust, which is really what they need to get to the next step. Once they connect with a victim online, they're going to try to lure that victim away from the social media site and suggest that they talk in a personal chat, phone, text, direct messaging, email, and then they will start that illusion, the scam of trying to manipulate and get information from that person, develop that relationship. And like I said, they will flirt, they will charm, they will romance over the next few weeks, over the next few months, and it will escalate. Eventually, when the scammer feels that victim is really invested in that relationship, they're going to ask for money and or other things. And remember, they're not just catfishing you. They can wait because they have other lines in the water all around the world. They may not pull you out of the water yet, but they're going to pull you out at some point. And until that point comes, they'll pull somebody else out.
I do have a question, if you will, District Attorney Cruz. I feel like this educational opportunity for our seniors is so important that, you know, having the information will arm them to be more prepared when they might become a victim of this type of scam. But what are some of the methods that an online scammer will use?
Yeah, no, you're right. And that's the whole purpose of this, is to get information out to people before, you know, you get reeled in by one of these individuals. Because once it does happen, as I know in my business, you know, once money's given away or whatever it may be, getting it back, incredibly difficult. It's trying to put toothpaste back in a tube. Doesn't work. And so therefore we have to be in front. So you're right. That's why programs like this, I'm hopeful, are helpful to people so that they can just, you know, keep your guard up. And, you know, because the scammers, they're going to go to great lengths to get your interest, to get your trust. And, you know, and then once again, like I said earlier, the most common way is going to be by communication, whether it be, you know, by phone, by email or text. They're going to be exchanged between the victim and scammer over the period of time until they feel they can go on to the next one. and they're going to feel that you're going to see it develop if you get involved in one of these. You know, they're going to shower you with loving words. They're going to share personal information with you. They're going to be very patient. It's going to, like I said, weeks, months, years, it's not going to happen overnight. And they're going to make it feel like you have the opportunity of a lifetime, the romance of a lifetime. They may very well tell you that, oh, I'm going to book a flight and I'm going to come see you tomorrow. Only they never really actually come. And they will always have an excuse. Most of the scam artists are going to try to avoid meeting you in person. That's because it makes it easier and it makes it more plausible for them to ask you for more money in the future. Ask you for money for a trip, you send the money, an emergency comes up in their very specialized business and they can't come for whatever reason, COVID, you know, a family emergency. Most scammers are going to tell you that they live in another country. And most scammers are going to tell you that they're involved in some form of building or construction industry, and they're engaged in projects outside the U.S. But as usual, once they gain your trust, and once your victims are down, they're going to ask you either subtly or directly. They're going to ask you for money. It's probably going to start small. They're going to ask you for gas or travel money to come see you, a plane ticket, a loan to pay off medical expenses. And then they're going to start talking to you about, maybe they'll give you some more information. I'm talking about the banking information that they have to assist them with an inheritance they just received, and that they're willing to share with you, you know, and they'll make promises of marriage and things such as that. Once again, never seeing you face to face. They'll be, you know, exchanging, giving you credit card numbers, and they'll want your credit card numbers. Once again, for the purchase of tickets, you know, back and forth, medical expenses, you know, something that they need it for. They're always going to have a story. They're always going to have a need for a loan for financial hardship, expenses for themselves, a loss of employment, a victim of a mugging. There's a whole bunch of different stories, but really when you peel away the layers of the onion, at the end of the day, they're looking to either get your information, your money, your credit cards, or the stuff that you've worked hard for your whole life.
These romance fraudsters are good at social engineering and have this art of persuasion, and they have a lot to influence their victims, if you will. So can you tell us why these romance scams are so successful?
I think, you know, you're right, Joe. I mean, these individuals are really good at what they do. You know, whether they're doing a romance scam or a COVID-19 scam or you won the lottery scam, there are a whole bunch of them. But the end of the day, what they really are is good at what they do. They're scam artists. You know, if they only, you know, put their potential to a real job and really contributing to society, would be so much better off. But they prefer to go down this angle. So, you know, they're going to, like I said, they're going to be very charming. They're going to be very flirty. They're going to work it hard, very hard with you to keep that relationship exciting, which is going to lead you to the next step sometimes, whereby they're going to send you a love poem. They're going to start doing sex games in the emails. And then eventually, and unfortunately, they will ask victims to send intimate photos of themselves. And eventually what will happen is if you partake in that, it's not unusual for them to use that participation in those intimate emails and photographs in blackmailing you in an effort to manipulate you for money or for the use of bank account information or whatever it may be, whatever their goal is. You know, if you give them things like that, if you give information like that, if you have photos like that, these are very well going to come back at some point and hurt you. It's like when we go to schools and talk to kids, the internet's not anonymous. And when you throw something out there, it's out there. You can't put it back in. And so therefore, don't do it. That's really what it comes down to. They really, because they're so good at what they do, you know, they really, I think they appear to be showing you that they're building a really strong, loving relationship and with promises of getting married down the road. And sometimes they'll even invite you to visit them in their country if they're out of the country or if they're working outside the U.S. That sounds great, but if the travel is actually made, it can be very, very dangerous to go to a place to allegedly meet somebody you've never met before. It poses a real risk to your financial safety, but quite honestly, as you hear stories going about, it poses a real risk to the personal safety of the victim that's traveling there. In some instances, people have been beaten, they've been robbed, they've even been murdered. So you have to be very, very careful.
Tim, have any of these crimes been investigated or prosecuted?
Yeah, I mean, normally what happens is that we will end up, most of the crimes that we deal with now, that we're talking about now, cross out of my jurisdictional authority, which is Plymouth County, and usually cross out of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, which is the AG's authority. Usually when we have these cases, it's a federal offense because it's crossing state lines. So we'll reach out to the FBI, which has investigated multiple cases. And out of the reported cases last year, they found their average median loss for romance fraud victims differs really contingent upon how old you are. The numbers that they gave out last year was that if you're in your 20s, the average scam was about $770. If you're in your 30s, or in your 50s, excuse me, about twice as much, about $1,500 or so is what people are scamming them out of. 60s, 3,000, 70s, 64, you know, 50, going up, right? I mean, they continue to we hear stories about individuals who have refinanced their homes, they've cashed out their retirement accounts, and the scammers, you know, is that old story about, you know, they ask a bank robber, why do you rob banks? That's where the money is. Why do you scam seniors? That's where the money is. Those are the people who have acquired things throughout their life. So that people and the criminals especially know that more likely than not, if I'm not going to scam a 20-year-old kid who probably has nothing, I'm going to scam a 60-year-old guy like me who's probably acquired some money, has some assets right now, and may be desperate for something and will be in a position where I'm going to give that up. I mean, just last year, there were a whole litany of cases that went on that, you know, just to give you a little summary of a few of them, but of romance cases that have gone on here in the U.S. There was a woman, a 76-year-old woman from Rhode Island, transferred more than $660,000 to bank accounts that she was told belonged to a United States Army general who was stationed and deployed in Afghanistan. A Detroit man reported meeting a woman online who quickly told him that she loved him. And when she needed help, he sent her $13,000 over time. And it turned out the woman was a complete fraud. In Oklahoma, there were 10 Nigerian and U.S. citizens who were indicted in a fraud ring targeting multiple victims. And a grand jury in Georgia indicted a man accused of bilking a Virginia woman who had a large trust fund of $6.5 million. You know, there was a case that the New York Times just reported. And this victim was really one of the luckier ones because she was vigilant. She kept, something didn't smell right there, you know? And she tells a story as she knew a man by the name of James Gibson. James was leaving for Europe. He suddenly called her out of the blue after having this relationship online, that his Netflix card had expired and he was flying out and he really wanted to watch movies on the plane. So he asked her if she could please go to Walmart and buy him a $100 Netflix card. Now, that doesn't seem maybe out of the ordinary. That's okay. So she did that. She complied. She went out, she bought the card. She called James back and she read him the numbers. He was able to use that card. A few days later, he called her again. And he told her that he left a bag of expensive tools in the cab when he got where he was going. The victim subsequently stated that this man sounded hysterical on the phone. The tools were worth $4,000, but he found replacements for just $2,600, in which she sent him the money and he'd pay her back. Now the woman did a smart thing. She took a step back. She thought about it for a second. She had a cup of coffee. She wondered, why wouldn't an international traveler have a credit card? Why wouldn't an international traveler who is going abroad to work, why wouldn't his or her employer be willing to help them? So when he called back looking for this $2,600, she said to him, you're scamming me. She hung up, she blocked him on her phone and online. She posted on the fraud on Nextdoor, where she initially met him, and on Facebook. And sure enough, other women came forward and said they'd been similarly defrauded. They were too humiliated to tell anybody. Remember, they use that against you. They will use the fact that you're embarrassed by it. You can't believe you're so foolish to fall for that. And they use that so you'll be quiet. And that's why the worst thing we can do is be quiet. Because like I said, remember, these people are really good at what they do. They can, you know, talk a dog off a meat wagon, as they say. And they'll be in a position where they're going to try to get your information. And women are not the only victims. It happens to men too. There was a Montana man recently publicly shared his story. He was home after sustaining an injury at work, and he got caught up in a romance scam for about a year or so. It was going back and forth. He'd been divorced from a 20-year marriage. He received a friend request from a woman on Facebook in January of 2018. He didn't know her, but she looked nice. You know, she sent pictures. She showed him pictures of herself dressed up when she was going to church. They exchanged selfies. She seemed really interested. She made him feel likable, made him feel loving, interesting, worthwhile. But after 2.5 months, she alleged that she broke her cell phone. She needed a new one. And because she was a student, which should tell you something about the age difference also, because she was a student, she asked him to buy it for her. And he wired her $1,000 through Western Union to buy it, to get another phone. Over time, they had further conversations back and forth. And she told more bizarre and crazy stories. Her father had been murdered. She was involved in a legal battle for $28 million in inheritance. But she had to keep everything under the radar because her father's old business had ties to the organized crime. He helped her with her inheritance and bought a lot of gift cards and would read numbers off to her that she would use. He learned the truth when he asked for a selfie, and she sent him a picture of a different woman. And he said, I know I'm not the only divorced middle-aged man that's lonely and wants somebody to talk to, but over the course of 8 months or so, he was out $31,000. That's a lot of money.
Wow. The information that you're sharing, you know, we are fortunate that we'll be able to get it out to our seniors watching this show. We've talked about the different types of romance scams, but what can our seniors do to protect themselves from becoming a victim of this type of scam?
Yeah, Jennifer, I mean, the ultimate most important thing that all of us can do is remain vigilant. Remain vigilant because, once again, the scammers are experts at what they do. They're experts at getting information from you, and they're experts at putting themselves in a position to lure you in. So the warning signs are, especially when you're talking to people you've never met. And I'm not saying that everybody out there is scamming you, but I'm saying that you need to be vigilant with everybody. So, you know, when they profess love really quickly, when they claim to be overseas for business or they're in the military, when they ask for money and they lure you off the social media site, they'll talk to you directly on the phone. When they claim that an emergency came up, they need money or for hospitals, for travel. When they plan to visit, but the last second they can't because of an emergency. You know, how do we protect ourselves is the question, you know? In an online relationship, we should always proceed very slowly, and we should ask a lot of questions. Be very leery. People seem too perfect, or they quickly ask you to leave the site, to go off the site, to communicate privately. Beware if that person tries to isolate you from friends and family, or if they request inappropriate photographs or financial information that they can later use to try to extort you. That's what can happen. Never send money to somebody you haven't met in person. Be leery of the pro data, the person who will try to set up a meeting, though, because that's also a whole different ballgame where your physical being can also be in jeopardy versus just your financial. Always consider the possibility that the approach you're getting from these people you don't know and you've never met might be a scam. And try to remove emotion, if you can, you know, from your decision making, no matter how caring, no matter how persistent the person is. Do an image search on Google and see if this picture that they've sent you is associated with somebody else. Be alert to things. I mean, I was talking to about a scam this the other day that was you won the lottery scam. They looked at all the spelling and grammar mistakes. It wasn't from the U.S. It was from outside the country, and the English did not flow, and there were all these errors of spelling and grammar, inconsistencies in their stories. That their camera's never working when you want to meet virtually. Be very, very cautious talking about or showing your personal pictures or videos with prospective partners. If you do agree to meet this partner, tell a family member, tell a friend. Don't let them keep it secret. If there's a legitimate relationship, why would it need to be kept secret? Be wary, incredibly wary of requests for money. And never send money or give your credit card or bank information to anybody. And never, ever agree to transfer money for somebody else. You could be being set up, and money laundering, which is what you could be doing, is a criminal and federal offense. Be careful what you post online. We tell it to our kids. Be careful with the information you put on your Facebook, you put on your Twitter, you put on Instagram, whatever it may be. Scammers use that, and they will use that information. And so just be so very careful. Put up very limited stuff. Limit your people that have the opportunity to go on your items also.
Mr. Cruz, what should we do if we think we may have become a victim of a romance scam?
Well, Joe, the first thing that we should do is stop communicating with that scammer immediately. And don't let the embarrassment or the humiliation you may be feeling take over. It's incredibly important to talk to somebody you trust, pay attention if your family or friends, what they're saying, what they're concerned about, you know, your new interest. If you've been scammed, it's very important to report it to your police, your local police, the FBI, the Federal Trade Commission. Also alert the social media site that you are on. Many times these people who are scamming you with the same information are scamming somebody else with the same info, same photo, same stuff. So the more that we alert people, the more that we're gonna be able to prevent them from doing it to somebody else. And the fact, once again, like I said earlier, they'll try to use your embarrassment against you because you can't believe you fell for that. But these people are good. They're professional thieves. This is what they do. And if you throw enough lines in the water, you're going to get some people to bite on it. And then when you bite on it, that's when they're going to be able to get the information from you. Make sure you give that scammer's profile name and number. Make sure you give that all that stuff to the social media site. And if you think also that somehow you may have given your credit card number, your bank account information to the scammer, call your credit card company, call your bank, report it immediately. You can always cancel your credit cards. You can always get new cards immediately. They'll send them to you virtually overnight to make sure that you're not getting ripped off.
District Attorney Cruz, you mentioned that the scammers will take on the role of a military personnel. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure, Scott. Unfortunately, it's been determined that that's a rapidly growing technique that scammers are using. They're going to use the names and profiles of soldiers, you know, because usually they inspire confidence, they inspire trust. And also the Army will put, I have a son in the Army, they will put information out about their latest deployment. So they do that themselves and put it out there in the media. They're proud of their men and women who are serving the country, and that's great. But these guys will get that information and they can use it. So, you know, like I said, military public relations will post that information and post photographs also. And those are the photographs that you can expect to see on the social media. And they're also incredibly easily stolen, these photos and the basic information, by organized internet gangs that often operate not out of the US, but they operate out of Nigeria, they operate out of Ghana. They're less formal than I think than the mafia groups that we're kind of used to, the gangs that we're kind of used to. They're more organized around ethnic and familial lines. But there's something along the lines of 250 distinct ethnic language in Nigeria. Makes it incredibly difficult to trace them. So these gangs are really less susceptible to getting infiltrated in investigation from law enforcement. And they're going to use these pictures of these men and women who are in the military. They're going to say that they're lonely. They're supporting an orphanage with their own money. They need financial assistance because they're in a combat zone and they can't access their own money. The scammer is always going to ask that the money not be sent to them, where you might be able to find it. It's always going to be sent to a third party, so they're going to be able to get it. Sometimes the party's real, sometimes the party's fictitious. Many times the scammer is going to ask that money be wired via Western Union or MoneyGram. They're going to set up a secret passphrase and a response with the victim. Scammers know that the funds sent via Western Union or MoneyGram do not have to be claimed by showing any identification. A secret passphrase and a response is all they need to receive that wired money. And this money can be picked up anywhere in the world. So scammers also sometimes may be requesting that funds be sent in Bitcoin, which is a digital cryptocurrency, which is out there now in the real world, which I probably can't explain any more than that because I don't really understand Bitcoin. But it's out there now. It is a currency out there now. And that they're going to be able to retrieve those monies from an app that they're going to be able to extrapolate those monies from the Bitcoin. So as I stated earlier, this scam, this rapidly growing technique, the romance scam, is out there. It continues to be out there. We all need to remain vigilant. We all need to watch out for each other. And if it happens to you, don't be embarrassed. Tell everybody so we can prevent it from happening to somebody else.
District Cruz, this is obviously valuable information, as I keep mentioning. Is there some place that our viewers can go to get additional information regarding the resources offered by your office?
Jennifer, all this information, everything I've talked about, and a heck of a lot more, are available on our website, PlymouthDA.com. Any information that you're looking for any scams that we're talking about, or credit card information, or even if you need a number to what's the next step, you never hesitate to go on our website. We have phone numbers there that if you want to call the office, if you want to talk to an on-call assistant DA, they can talk to you and tell you what the story is in that certain situation. It's important, like I said, that we get out there and that we try to prevent these things before they happen, because once they happen, if we find out after the fact, the prosecution is difficult enough as it is, but trying to get restitution, trying to get people their monies back is virtually impossible. So it's so incredibly important to get the word out before us. So that's why I'm glad to have this opportunity today. I appreciate the time to talk to everyone, and I'm hopeful that everybody remains safe. As we struggle our way through the pandemic here right now, the vaccines are here. So let's all be safe and let's be careful with our information. And if you ever have any questions, PlymouthDA.com or call us at 508-584-8120. Thank you.
Thank you so much, District Attorney Cruz. I know I've been working with your office for years as a senior center director. I always look forward to these opportunities. And I would like to extend a special thank you to Joe Milberg and Scott Stevenson for joining us and asking such insightful questions. This information is so important as our seniors continue to socially distance, and as a result are at increased risk for feeling socially isolated and may in turn fall victim to these types of scams. I want to emphasize that our seniors stay vigilant. I'd like to thank you all at home for tuning in to watch this show. This wraps up our episode of Senior Safety, and I look forward to seeing you all again soon. Thank you.